ministries, Lord, all around the UK, all around the world. And you'll use your men and your families, God, to just do your work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen.
Let's go ahead and open our Bibles up, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians. And we are going to pick up where we left off this past Sunday. And so if by a chance you're watching this service today and you did not see Sunday service, it is online. It is on Facebook, the audio version, and I believe the video version is on sermonaudio.com. And so make sure you go ahead and go back and listen to that as well. But we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 here in just a moment. I'm going to go over a quick review, guys, because one of the things that I want us to look at, most people hold to the idea that we can never know a time frame of when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to catch his bride away. And, you know, many hold to the idea that Jesus Christ is going to come in the thief as a thief in the night. And they hold to that because they are misinterpreting or, at best, misapplying the scriptures to the wrong time. There is a difference between the catching away of the bride of Christ, which is the church, a local saved, born-again believers in Christ Jesus, and the second coming of Jesus Christ, the second advent, if you will. And we have, you can put these together, you can tie these together by understanding if it's a second advent, there had to be a first advent, and there has to be some similarities in order for it to be a second advent or a second coming. The first advent, the Lord Jesus Christ was physically on this earth. He was here physically. Therefore, the second advent or the second coming can only be the second coming if the Lord Jesus Christ is physically on this earth. And that in there lies the difference between the second coming and what we refer to as the rapture or the catching away of the bride of Christ. And so we need to understand that. So what we covered Sunday, we only covered one point, and that was called the day of the Lord. And we see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes back, this is his first letter. He's writing back unto the church there in Thessaloniki, and he says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." Now, he's speaking unto saved, born-again individuals. These are people of the church. He says, you don't need to know about these times and the sea. I don't need to write unto you. And verse 2 says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." My friend, he says, you don't need to know about this. You don't need to worry about this. And here is why. Look in verse 3. "For when they," and I told you Sunday, circle that word as "they," "shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them," circle that word "them," "as travail upon a woman with child, and they," circle the word "they," "shall not escape." That is referring to lost individuals. Lost individuals. Those are people that are unbelievers, if you will, those who have taken the mark of the beast during the tribulation period. Why do we know that? Because the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ ends the tribulation period and sets up the millennial kingdom, okay? That's what the second coming is for. That is when Jesus Christ puts his foot on Mount Olives. So he's physically coming upon this earth. Chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 3 are following the last few verses of chapter 4, where something different is being spoken of, and that is the rapture of the church. So when we look in chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, now we see the description of this rapture, this catching away of the bride of Christ. Verse 16 of chapter 4 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we," not they or them, "then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together," watch this, "with them," where? "In the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." How do we distinguish between what you see in chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, and then chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, is that the Lord is not on the earth. He's not physically placing his foot on this earth when he comes to catch away the bride of Christ, but he is in the clouds. "Forever we will be in the clouds," it says. He will descend from heaven, but he doesn't come all the way to the earth. So, my friend, this is what we know as the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is not the rapture or the catching away of the bride of Christ. So, in chapter 5 of verse of 1 Thessalonians, the first three verses is referring to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? The second coming. And he tells the church, he tells the brethren, "Ye of the times and seasons, brethren, You have no need that I write unto you. Why? Because, my friend, as the bride of Christ, as a saved, born-again believer today of Jesus Christ, we will not be here for the second coming. We will be coming back, yes, with him, but we will not be on this earth. That's why he says, I don't need to write unto you. You don't need to be concerned when that's going to happen, for that is going to happen as a thief cometh in the night, and it's going to destroy those who have believed not. So the second thing, point number two I want us to look at today, that's next on the agenda, and this is where it's most appropriate for us as believers, is the day of Christ. There is a difference in the day of the Lord and the day of Christ. Look in verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Notice what he says here is, but ye. Now that word ye is a plural word, meaning y'all. Ye, brethren. There's the distinction of who he is writing unto. He is writing to saved, born-again believers. Are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Okay? You're not in darkness that that's going to overtake you as a thief, he says. That referred. We're not clouded by this darkness, if you will. Turn in your Bible, if you will, real quick to Philippians in chapter 1. Philippians in chapter 1. I want you to see this. Philippians in chapter 1. And we're going to look in verses 3 through 6. All right, so Paul writes back, and he says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you, watch this, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's a time limit. That is the working of the church of the bride of Christ. That is working of the church age. That is the working out. There's the Lord, whatever work he has begun in you, he is going to fill it until the day of Christ. So here is the difference between the two. Now go back to 1 Thessalonians, and this is where we're understanding this very clearly today. 1 Thessalonians, I think that's where we're going to be. Hang on, give me 2 seconds. All right, no, go back to Philippians 1, then we're going to go back to 1 Thessalonians. My bad. Okay, so again, we're looking at this day of Christ. So first off, we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that second coming of the Lord is not going to overtake us. We're not in darkness that it would overtake us as a thief in the night, but it's going to overtake them. Remember the them and the others and the they? That is the lost individuals. That is referring to the unbelievers of the tribulation period. Paul tells us in in Philippians chapter 1 and in verses 3 through 6, specifically verse 6, saying, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Look down in verse 10. In verse 10 it says, that ye, again, saved, born again individuals, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense, till the day of Christ. Okay, that is the time limit that is placed on the church age, on the time with the church and the local New Testament church. That is what we find. Look there in chapter 2 of Philippians and look down in verse 16. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 16, the Bible says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, okay, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So Paul is telling us that there is a time limit for this church age. And what is going to bring the church age to the end is known as the day of Christ, not the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is going to end the tribulation period, which is 7 years after the day of Christ. And what we look at in verse chapter 2 and verse 16, this is the day when all believers, all of those that are saved and born again during the age of grace will be judged according to the works they have done and the works they have not done, okay? According to the works of commission and the works of omission. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 12, the Bible says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So gold, silver, precious stone, you've heard me say this time and time again, that is the type of work, the sort of work that we are committing. If it's gold, we're building up, what we're doing is building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. When we preach, we witness, we hold to, we teach this world of the deity of Christ. Gold is the picture of deity. If it's silver, we are speaking and preaching and witnessing of the redemption, the redemptive price that Jesus Christ was sold into the onto the cross of Calvary, 30 pieces of silver. Precious stones have always, throughout the Word of God, are speaking of souls. They're speaking of human beings, of individual souls. Anyone and everyone that you have had some type of involvement that has that involvement in bringing them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've done so with the correct intentions, amen? Then that is a precious stone that is laid upon the foundation. Wood, hay, stubble is a picture of man's dead works. It's the works that you and I have done, be it a good work or not, whether it's good, it doesn't matter, but we've done for our own self-glory. Wood is a dead tree. Hay is dead grass, and stubble is leftover hay, leftover dead grass. It goes up in smoke. So when it's tried so as by fire, boom, it goes up in smoke and you'll suffer loss. But you yourself are still saved and born again. You don't lose your salvation, but you do lose the rewards. That's the judgment seat of Christ, all right? We read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. My friend, we all must stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account of that which we have done in the body, whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether it's sins of works of omission or works of commission. The opportunities that we had to be a witness unto the lost and we forsook them, or opportunities that we have had for the lost to win them to Christ and we capitalized on them. That's what we're going to give an account for, okay? So the Lord has begun a work in his church. He's begun a work in the bride of Christ. He has begun a work on here, and he did so in the death, burial, and resurrection of himself, and his church was established, okay? That work that he has begun, he will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, okay? So all that we do in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the body of the bride of Christ, we are going to account for at or after the day of Christ. There is a time limit for the church. So the difference between the day of Christ and the day of the Lord is both of them bring something to an end, but the day of Christ is bringing the church age to the end. 7 years later, the day of the Lord is bringing the tribulation period to an end. Amen? And it's beginning something new, you could almost say. So the day of Christ is going to begin the tribulation period. The day of the Lord is going to begin the millennial kingdom, where Jesus Christ will live and reign for 1,000 years on this earth, and we will live and reign with him. Amen? So, the next on the agenda, with all the things that we're dealing with in this world today, with all the stuff, and I believe, if not 100%, at least 90% of what we are dealing with in the world today is nothing more than a devilish distraction to deceive the lost and keep them lost, or to distract the believers today from doing the job that we should be doing. So what is, point number three, the day to come? What are we looking for, the next thing on the agenda today? The day to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 again. Look down with me in the next two verses, verse 5 and 6. This is on the heels of Paul saying that we will not be overtaken as a thief. Verse 5 says, ye are the children of God, of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us, saved born-again individuals, not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. The others is referring to the same people that are the they and the them of the first three verses that we find. That is the lost. Those that are lost, they're in darkness. We are that are saved, we are in the light. Those that are sleeping, they're not paying attention, those guys are those today that are not part of us, but they are of the others that Paul is referring to. When he says, therefore, let us watch. We don't have to watch for the second coming. Paul's already made it clear, saying of the times and seasons, you need me not to write unto you. That day is not going to overtake you as a thief, because you're not in darkness. We are in the day. Amen? So from that point forward, he says, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. The word sober means to be alert. To watch means to be aware, to be active, to alert, to be vigilant to your surroundings. What are we looking for? What is the next thing on the agenda today? It is the Lord's return in the air. It is known as the intimacy of the return of Christ. The intimacy of the rapture of the church. The word imminent means about to happen. And you may be sitting there listening to this today and saying, preachers have been preaching the intimacy of the return of Christ for decades, for centuries. They've been preaching and preaching and preaching it, and it's been imminent ever since Jesus Christ ascended on high. And I'm going to say this, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. It is not to take, that day should not take us unaware, and it shouldn't take us unlooking. I want you to imagine with me today. Maybe you know someone. I can off the top of my head right now, I can think of 10 to 15 people that I know personally that refuse to accept the doctrine that I am teaching you right now. They refuse to accept the fact that Jesus Christ is going to take his bride, going to take his church out of here. There's going to be a 7-year tribulation period where God turns his attention back onto Israel, and then he's going to come to set up his kingdom. They refuse to hear this. And the ones that I'm thinking of, they're not bad people. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are saved as much as I know that they can be saved. They're saved just like I am as far as I know it. And they're doing a great work for God every single day. But they're just off on their doctrine. Okay? I say that to make this point. Can you imagine that day at hand? And the Lord comes, and he descends from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And he says, come up hither. And the dead in Christ immediately are changed. Those bodies in the grave, that corruptible puts on incorruption, boom, that quick. The Bible talks about it in the twinkling of an eye. Physics have measured that, which it takes light to refract in the eye to 0.1 to the negative 45th power of a second. It's unbelievably quick. Dead Christ are going to be changed, and they're going to be raised from the dead, and they're going to put on incorruption. And then we who are alive and remain shall put on immortality. That quick, big old thunderclap, hear the voice of God, and we'll be caught up together. But can you imagine today what it's going to be like for the saved souls in this world who have been distracted by everything that is going on in the world, that they're not looking for what is honestly next on the agenda, but they're caught up in the cares of this world. And they're caught up with false and improper doctrine today. Even though they love the Lord Jesus Christ, even though they love the gospel, even though they love you and they love God, but they just simply are distracted by wrong doctrine. Imagine what it's going to be like on that day. All the distraction that is in this world is intended to keep the lost blinded. Paul said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. All the distractions that are going on today from the devil are for one of two purposes. The first purpose is to keep those that are lost, lost, because he hates the creation of God. He hates the fact that Jesus Christ paid for their sins. He hates everything that has to do with God's creation, and therefore all he does is to seek and to destroy. And he's blinded them, and he's hid the gospel from them. All the distractions of this world are meant to keep the saved either confused or focusing on what is happening now rather than what is about to happen in the air. The Bible tells us to watch and be sober. Matthew 24:36, but of the day and the hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now that's referring to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, preacher, why do you throw Matthew 24? That's a tribulational verse. That's intended in Israel. Why is that in there? Let me say this to you. If only the Father in heaven knows when the second coming of Christ, which is the day of the Lord, is going to happen, then only the Father in heaven knows when the rapture of the church, which is the day of Christ, is going to happen, which is the next day to come. That's next on the agenda. You say, why? Because that's simple math. If we knew the second coming of Christ, we just subtract 7 years, boom, we got it. Amen? The word knoweth is a verb. When applied to AD 29, no man would know. Also, the application of a day and hour may not even be possible even here today. But of the time and the seasons, guys, I believe of the time and the seasons, I believe we can certainly know, as one preacher put it years ago, the trumpet's out of the case. I believe we can honestly know that the times and the seasons should be preparing the bride of Christ to be watching, to be sober-minded, to be alert, to be aware, to be vigilant of what's going on in this world today. Pastor Ellis, my pastor taught us all the time to remain vigilant, to be aware of what's going on around you, but most importantly, be looking north, looking for heaven, looking for Christ. Watch and be sober. Many, many times we talk about this peace treaty that goes on in the Middle East. We know that a new one was just signed here the other day. It shouldn't shock you. It doesn't shock me at all. I'm not in the least bit shocked that a treaty has been signed. Matter of fact, I look forward to it. I'm glad it's signed. Amen. You say, am I glad because it bring peace to the Middle East? There ain't no peace in the Middle East ever going to be there minus 3.5 years in the tribulation period, which is a pseudo peace, number one, until Jesus Christ is sat on the throne of David that's going to be rebuilt, hands down. But I will tell you this, you know, for another treaty to be signed, it just means we're getting closer and closer and closer to Jesus Christ coming and taking the bride out of here. I want to give you an example of how I think we can know the times and the seasons. No, you're not going to know the day. No, I'm not going to know the hour. No man knoweth that. Matter of fact, if you read Matthew 24 like we just read it, and you read it and you believe it, not even Jesus Christ knows when the second coming is going. He said his Father only. Amen. I understand he was saying that when he was on this earth, and you could say, well, that was the earthly Jesus saying it. He still knew all things. Amen. The Father in heaven knows when he's going to send the Son to go get the bride of Christ. That's what he knows, okay? He knows when he's going to when the Son's going to come and set up the second king, set up the kingdom during the second coming. But I want to give you an example this morning, or this evening. I want to give you an example of how we can know what times and seasons that we are living in and why we should be more alert, more aware today than ever. Go back to Luke, if you will. Open up your Bibles to Luke, and we're going to jump back and forth from Luke and the book of Genesis, okay? So you're going to be in Luke chapter 17 is where I'd like you to be. Luke chapter 17, and again, like I said, we are going to jump, we're going to jump back and forth. We'll be in Luke, then we're going to hit Genesis, and then we'll end in Luke, and then we will be done tonight with this message titled Next on the Agenda. So I want us to tie a few things together today, if we can. And again, guys, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not setting dates. I am setting seasons. I believe the more that goes on in this world today, we can be even more alert and more aware of what's going on. Look at Luke chapter 17. We'll see two verses, verse 26 and verse 28. Now, notice what the Bible says here. Luke 17, verse 26, the Bible says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also in the days, so shall also in the days of the Son of Man." Look at verse 28. "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded." All right? So, he says likewise. So, what he is telling us here that we find, just like it was in the days of Noah, and just like it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of coming of the Son of Man. We see that in verse 30, "Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Now that is referring, my friend, to the second coming of Jesus Christ, okay, when that kingdom will be established. Now in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, both are pictures of society in which the days the church will recognize the time of Christ's return, or should. I want you to look at the warnings that were present in both of these men's lives, and as we can tie them together to where we are today. First thing that I want you to see back in Genesis is that God foretold the number of years until judgment. Look in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Look in verse 3. Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 3. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now just skip over to Genesis 19 and hold your place there in Genesis 6. We will be going back shortly. Genesis 19. Look in verse 13, the very first part of verse 13. So we see that just in the days of Noah and days of Lot, God foretold the number of years until judgment. All right, so Genesis 19, looking in verse 13, the Bible says, "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." So the warning came to Lot by these two angels that came into the city that day, "We will destroy this place." The warning was given unto Noah that that man is going to strive for 120, you got 120 years, all right? And I believe that was the time it took for him to build that big ark, okay? Number two, we find that God revealed the way of salvation to both of these men, to Noah and to Lot. Look back in Genesis chapter 6 and look in verse 14 with me. What was the way of salvation for Noah? Well, it was that ark. Verse 14, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch." That's the way of salvation. If anyone was going to, the only ones that were spared, the only ones that lived, both animal and mankind, were those that were on that ark. Those that believed, amen, far as humans go, believed what Noah preached for the 120 years. Look over in Genesis 19 with me. Genesis 19, and we look in verse 15 now. "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." In other words, here's the way of salvation was Lot, was get out of this city. All right? And we know that he further said, don't even look back. Amen? So, we see, number one, God foretold the number of years until judgment, both of these men. God revealed the way of salvation to both of these men and their families. And number three, God gave an exact day of when it was going to happen. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 10, the exact day. "And it came to pass after 7 days that the water of the flood were upon the earth." See the same thing in Genesis chapter 19 and in verse 17. Genesis 19 and verse 17, "And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." So we find that a day was given, an exact day of the judgment of the Lord that was going to happen. The exact way of salvation occurred, and God gave the number of years until judgment, or the time frame thereof. So in comparison to the days of Noah and the days of Lot, to the days of today, let's look back in the book of Luke. Last time I asked you to turn, and look at two verses, all right? What is it like in the what was it like in the days of Noah? What was it like in the days of Lot? Let's look in Luke 17, verse 27 to 29. "And they did eat, they drank, married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came," watch this, "and destroyed them all." Look in verse 29. "The same day, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven," okay, "and destroyed them all." That's right on the heels of seeing verse 28, "likewise also, that in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built." What did they do? They were unaware. They were carrying on, and they were distracted with everything that was going on in front of them in their day. How can we apply that into our world today? Guys, we are living in a society today that is mesmerized. They are borderline infatuated with the news media, with social media, with everything that is going on in front of them, that they're not looking up what is about to happen on top of them. I'm saying all that to say this point, guys. As a church, we see what the climate is going to be in the day that Jesus Christ comes back for the second coming. And that's 7 years after the catching away of the bride of Christ. How much, I mean, we already see what our society has become today. And how much worse is it going to be 7 years after the church is taken out of here? Guys, think about it. I'm not going to pretend to tell you that I know a day or an hour the Lord is going to return in the air. No amount of Bible study will ever reveal that to mankind. There is nothing or anyone on this planet that can predict the day or the hour, for that matter, the month, and I don't even believe the year, amen. Nobody, no man's ever, ever, ever going to be able to do that. But I do know this to be a fact. The climates and the seasons are preparing for that day to come. And I'm saying, for us to understand this point, I know for a fact that he is coming back for the second coming. And if he's coming back for the second coming to set up his millennial kingdom, he's going to come back in the air to take his church out of here 7 years prior. I'm not a mid-tribber, and if you're a Bible believer, you're not a mid-tribber either. Don't send me an email and try to correct me. I'm not going to listen to it. I believe the Word of God. Amen. We're not going to see a part of the wrath. God is not going to allow his bride to go part of the wrath. 7 years, biblical, prophetical years have been appointed there unto the nation of Israel when God will turn his attention back unto them. The church will not be present. Amen. Period. We're not here to set up a kingdom. We're not here to build a kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to build and set up his kingdom when he comes back the second time. But 7 years before that, he's taken the bride out of here. So what does that tell me? He's given us the way to escape, and that is the way of salvation. He has given us a way to escape. He has given us a time and a season of what it's going to be like when he comes back the second time. And therefore, we're seeing those days playing out before us. The world today, they're eating, they're drinking, they're merry. They don't have a care in the world, and they're distracted, and they're all talking about what's going on in the politics and what's going on in the news and what's going on social media. And everybody is just so focused on everything that is in their vertical vision. They're forgetting about a horizontal vision. And beloved, we got it backwards. Men are preaching. They're getting in the pulpit today, and they're preaching everything that they can for political gain or against politics. They're being distracted by what the real reason that we've taken this pulpit. And that's to feed the flock of God. That is to equip our saints to go into this world today to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ so they may have the saving knowledge that their souls will not be in darkness, that they may be children of light. So, beloved, I'm leaving you with this thought today. God's given us the way of salvation. He has given us a way to escape, just like he did Noah, just like he did Lot. But guys, you know what? As the days of Noah and the days of Lot were, so they are today. So how much closer could we be to the return of the Lord in the air to take the bride away? I think closer than what we even really imagine. So I'm going to leave you with this question about what's next on the agenda. What do you want to be doing? Where do you want to be looking? What do you want your conversation to be? What do you want to be reading? What do you want to be thinking when Christ returns in the air? When Christ comes back to take his bride home? I know as a preacher, we've always said, and I'm probably every preacher there, I want to be preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be in the pulpit when God comes back. That'd be great. I want to be witnessing to the last lost soul when they get saved when God comes back. That'd be great. You know what, man? I just want to be thinking about my Savior. I want to be looking for him when he comes back. I want to be loving the appearance of the Lord when he comes back in the air. Because, beloved, we have an opportunity today. The Lord has performed a good work. He is going to perform that good work in us until the day of Christ. As great of a work that God has given us to do on this earth, to be a witness to the lost and dying, to be a witness for souls to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it does come with a time limit. It does come to an end. And the greatest day that the church will ever experience is the day that Jesus Christ descends from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, when he says, "Come up hither, and forever we will be," will also be the saddest day on earth. For once that happens, souls that are left here that have not accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, especially those who have been given an opportunity, will have no chance whatsoever. So, beloved, if you're looking for Jesus Christ's return in the air, more or less if you're loving the return of Jesus Christ in the air, you'll also be looking for souls today to be a witness unto them that they may receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for this Bible study this evening. We want to lift up in prayer tonight souls that need to be born again. Father, we do look toward the return of Jesus Christ in the air. We are loving it. We look forward to it. Lord, we also know those out there that we have witnessed to, those that we have planted seeds with. I ask you, Father, to please open up those doors in just the upcoming days. Lord, convict hearts, lay and pierce their hearts asunder those that, that have heard the gospel, be it from my mouth, from Preston's mouth, be it wherever, give us another opportunity to share the precious gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And I plead with you that you would set conviction into their soul, that they would receive you with gladness, that they would ask forgiveness of sins and be gloriously, marvelously born again of the blood of Christ, so that when you do return in the air, they will go with us, and forever they will be. Father, I thank a Beryl this evening, and I ask you to touch her, Lord Father. Give Preston and Wendy the words to say, open up that door way to heaven for her, that she may come to know you. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord, guys. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. There isn't any further announcements other than church this Sunday at 11 a.m. We are greatly looking forward to that. Please do remember the prayer requests that have went out today. Remember what we've preached today and taught today. Go back in the lesson and read it, study it, apply it. But if anything you get from this two-part message is, I hope, the provocation to be a witness to the lost and dying. Be a witness to those that you say that you love. Be a witness to those neighbors. We lift them up. Lift them up to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be saved and born again. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for being with us tonight. We'll see you on Sunday right here in Saron Chapel, right here in the sanctuary, all together. Amen. First Sunday of September. We're looking forward to that. Be in prayer for Faith RX this coming Saturday at 12:45. We have that as well. Amen. God bless you all. Have a good night.